Sup, freaks. This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an AirGAT fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q. This rip was brought to you by our good friends at BitKey. If you have friends, family members who are newbies, they still have their Bitcoin in the exchange, help them take the first step off the exchange. BitKey makes it very easy. It's a hardware device that has a multi-sig. You have the hardware device has a key. Your mobile phone app has a key. And Block has a key in the cloud. They've designed this with trade-offs to make it very hard to lose Bitcoin. Easy to use, hard to lose. Go to bitkey.world. Use the code RHR or RHR20 at checkout to get a discount. Not sure exactly which one it is yet. Try both. Go check it out. bitkey.world. Try RHR or RHR20. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. You guys smell that? It's 4th of July week here in the United States. We're going to get it going with a rabbit hole recap. We're going to send you off to your 4th of July celebrations with a discussion during a slow news week. Matt and I were just talking about how slow the news week was this week.
Yeah, very slow. I mean, we're also entering the summer months. Did you buy fireworks yet?
No, I'm in New Jersey, so it's
fireworks. Are they illegal in New Jersey?
I don't think they're illegal. I just think they're hard to get, and the city doesn't like non-sanctioned firework.
I bought my toddler's first fireworks. I'm pretty excited about it. Those fireworks stores are so overwhelming. There's too much freedom. I mean, I support it, but I was like, there's no way I'm getting the big ones.
Yeah.
Logan, I walked in and they were like, what do you want? I was like, I don't know, like the best bang for the buck medium power ones.
Are you going to set it up with a bottle rocket?
What do you mean?
Like, I think bottle rockets are like, if you put it in a bottle, you know, to hand it, like, keep it out, like, boom.
Oh, no, I got, like, the legit ones that I'm going to, like, put out 40 feet, 60 feet away from the toddler, light it, and then run back.
Oh, I thought you were letting him handle the fireworks.
No. You know, I mean, the freaks don't know his exact age, but you know his age. He's not going within a good perimeter.
Okay, that guy's good.
He's gonna have to wait a few years before he's allowed to handle it. Please, freaks, please be responsible with the fireworks.
Don't blow off your hands. I was gonna say, terrible week. Did you see that firework warehouse that blew up in California? Worst week for it to blow up.
No, I did not see that.
It was a pretty massive explosion.
My dad found out that I went out and bought a bunch of fireworks, and he was like, he shook his head at me and he was like, what? Like, you shouldn't do that. when I was a kid, someone threw a firework at my face and I almost lost my eyesight. I was like, yeah, well, don't, like, I don't support people throwing fireworks at people's faces. Like, I think you can use them responsibly.
And guess what, Dad? Your eyesight's fine now. Okay, you survived. Okay.
He did. He's a survivor.
It was a tradition.
Paulie zapped us 21,000 sats. Thank you, Paulie. Sorry, Marty. Continue.
Shout out to you, Paulie. I was saying it was a tradition in my family. Growing up, my grandparents retired to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and when you graduated eighth grade, you would get a trip down to Myrtle Beach to stay at my grandparents, and you'd go. And you're in South Carolina. When I went with my friends, we bought a bunch of fireworks on the beach, and we're doing what 13-year-olds do when they have access to fireworks, which is launching them from dangerous parts of your body.
Yeah, I mean, kids are idiots.
Yeah.
I did so many dumb shit, so much dumb shit. Fucking amazing that I survived. But here we are, parents.
Yeah, parents. Beautiful day. Happy 4th of July to all those who celebrate here in the United States. I mean, if you're here, you should be celebrating. We got our freedom. We're here. This is a show about Bitcoin, which aligns with the ideals that this country was founded on better than anything in existence right now. Bitcoin is about personal property rights, decentralization, sound money, and individual sovereignty. It's very fitting that we're here on July 3rd, 2025, the 249th anniversary of the founding fathers signing the Declaration of Independence. And separating ourselves from the crown of England, which Tom Luongo thinks is still controlling the world to this day. So,
yeah, why is he so obsessed with Britain? Why does he get, I feel like his metaphors are outdated by like three decades.
It's the crown, House of Lords, you know.
And then he always caveats it with, by me saying that, I mean like everyone else, not them.
It's not the actual British Parliament. It's like the families above them. I like his thesis. Keep it open.
No, I like the thesis too. It's just weird. I listen to the rips you have with him.
It's a zig in the world. It's a big zig in the world of it's the Jews. It's like no, it's actually the crown. It's the crown.
Yeah, I mean that's the like. So the joke is always when you say they, who do you mean? Mm-hmm. And everyone has a different day, but for some reason, he's the only one I know that like Britain is his day, which is just, it's just funny.
It is.
I think they're so irrelevant at this point. Like I just failed society over there.
He would say that's what they want you to think. That's what they want you to think.
The Brits, those damn Brits.
Those damn Brits. What do you think? Are we going to get a freedom pump this 4th of July? It's seeming like it wants to break out a little bit.
I don't know. We Open Water Bitcoin was canceled after we called Open Water Bitcoin last time. So I think that was like 3.5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. So I'm trying to maintain composure, stay humble enough. But it does feel like a pump is going to happen at some point. Really bold prediction, but it's going to be the best kind of pump because it's just going to be a fucking rage pump. Like the Bitcoin deniers are going to hate it. Like 90% of the Bitcoin community is going to hate it. Like the only people that are going to like truly enjoy it are like the penny stock promoters. It's going to be like everyone just attacking each other.
People have been screaming price suppression, paper price suppression. We're going to hate it.
Yeah, it's going to be a pure rage pump. There's going to be like a dozen of us who are enjoying it.
I will be one of those. Hopefully I'll be on the beach, fireworks going off.
Just find your Zen freaks. Stop fighting over useless shit. The adversarial Bitcoin community environment is like the best part of one of the best parts of Bitcoin. But I feel like we used to be adversarial about better things.
But yeah, I was on a Spaces this morning. I got invited to talk on the Bitcoin Today Spaces with Lauren. And a bunch of others. And that was like, what's your advice? And I was like, you know what? Like, we all love Bitcoin. We all think it's going to succeed massively. It already is succeeding massively. Like, it is extremely important. revolutionary technology, but like a lot of people need to get out of their bubble and recognize that it's not going to happen overnight. Not everybody has Bitcoin yet. Like, and you don't need to make your whole personality about Bitcoin, and it could be actually be detrimental for your.
Well, no, I think that's health. Just, I mean, I think that's just like social media.
Yeah.
It's you're just watching influencers fight with each other to maintain relevance. I think most people, that's not the case. Yeah. I would hope. I think, I mean, me and you have focused a shit ton of our time on the Bitcoin movement over the last decade, and it's not the case for us. So I just assume like the ride or die freaks are enjoying life and not getting caught up in all the bullshit.
Yeah. Touch grass, people. Touch grass. I know you guys are. With that said, let's do a state of the network as we jump into the list. Current price of Bitcoin hovering just below $110,000 at $109,760. Uh-oh. Call the popo. One cuckbuck's going to get you 911 sats. We're at a $2.18 trillion market cap. We're at 900, block height 903,870, which means we had a difficulty adjustment between last week and this week. It was Sunday. It just so happens to be the largest difficulty adjustment, I believe, in 3 or 4 years. It's a negative 7.5% adjustment. We discussed why that was likely the case last week. Probably wasn't the United States bombing Iran. It was more likely a heat wave here in the United States and demand response kicking in places like Texas and the Tennessee Valley Authority. We are currently 1,314 blocks away from the next adjustment, estimated to be on July 13th, 2025. As of right now, it's looking like an upwards adjustment of 6.3%. Blocks have been coming in at 9 minutes and 24 seconds on average. There are currently 7,567 transactions in Clark's mempool. If we go over to mempool.space's mempool, 7,519 transactions. Fees elevated right now, high fee environment. If you want to get in the next block, 4 sats of V-byte. Medium priority, 4 sats of V-byte. Low priority, 3 sats of V-byte. Looks like as of right now, for the next 4 blocks, no 1 sat per V-byte getting in the next 2 blocks.
Wow, so expensive.
Yeah. That's the state of the network.
We had our OpenSats board meeting today, and the way OpenSats is structured is we have volunteers in subject matter committees, and they review first non-binding votes, and then after they do their review, the board reviews. And our layer two, the head of our layer two stepped down, layer two committee stepped down. I said, "Don't worry, guys, it's fine. Fees are cheap. We can just all use on chains. We don't need the layer two community."
I guess obviously it's not really breaking.
It was only half a joke.
Happened yesterday. Nifty announced she's stepping down.
Yeah. Sorry to see her go. We are looking for a replacement. So if you want to throw your hat in the ring, message me on Signal. We're not rushing into it. But in the next 3 months or so, we'll bring ourselves back up to a 9-person board.
Who would your ideal candidate be? What would their skill set be?
Long-term proof of work in the space. Someone on the board said, not stupid. And passionate. Like, it's a volunteer role. People don't realize how much work it is. Like, we really need someone who's going to be active. And doing reviews and participating. So like long-term proof of work and being active and passionate and motivated is key. And obviously the longer time in Bitcoin, the better, just because I feel like there's a lot of things you can't learn without time. But that's not a hard rule. We have Mav21 with 21,000 sats. SoapMiner, 21,000 sats, said happy 4th, everyone. Mav21 said yo. MVK zapped 21,000 sats, saying the founding fathers would have wanted to use dice and stamp your seed in hard steel. Thank you guys for your support.
They would have. Make sure you get 101 rolls in, though, if you're using the dice, okay?
Well, specifically, I like the feature where it uses the cold card entropy and then you add dice on top.
Yes.
I think 99% of people shouldn't use the pure dice feature because you can fuck it up if you don't provide enough dice rolls and you don't have enough entropy. But having the cold cards randomness and then you add your own randomness is a nice mix of both worlds. I think it's quite empowering. And in that situation, it's just all additive. Like you can't really fuck it up. In general, by the way, just on that topic, like I think we should make single sig great again. Like I feel like
there's a lot of people hating on multi-sig this week.
The Bitcoin influencers went way far down, and I'm partially guilty, went way far down the hole of, you know, complicating setups of self-custody setups and geographically distributed multi-sig, et cetera, et cetera. And that makes sense. Like it makes sense for organizations. You know, OpenSats relies on multi-sig. You don't want a single person in the organization to spend the funds. It makes sense for public figures that have a more severe threat model. Like it's incredibly important for me that I can't spend Bitcoin from my house, even if I wanted to. But for 99% of people, based on their threat models, single sig is more than secure. And single sig cold storage is more than secure for their savings and is way less complex. It's way easier to handle. And what I've been seeing happening recently is this trend where it's like people are saying like they choose the most complicated self-custody method as the only self-custody method. And then they use that as an argument for why you should buy MSTR instead of self-custody. It's like, no, like if your threat model is you're fine with MSTR, what is that threat model? That threat model is you're trusting Sailor and MSTR, you're trusting your brokerage, and you're trusting their custodian. So you're trusting three corporations. Any of the three can rug you. And you're trusting the government because the government can easily rug you in that situation too. So if that's your threat model, single sig hardware wallet is way more secure in that situation as long as you keep your seeds secure and you back up your seeds. So I don't know. There's nuance to all these things, and I wish people were just a little bit more honest with the trade-offs and understand that the best tools depend on the individual. It depends on your technical competence. It depends on your use case. It depends on your threat model. There's no one size fits all in Bitcoin.
No. I think like deep, long-term cold storage, public figure, geographically distributed, multi-sig makes a lot of sense. But if you have a daily driver, a single sig mobile wallet is good. Like not the docs are set up to TFTC, but I feel comfortable saying it because we don't keep a lot of Bitcoin on this wallet, but like we bring in some revenue in Bitcoin. And if it's on chain, I have a cold card queue linked up towards Apparate, and that's a good, we pay out contractors and employees in Bitcoin. So like having that and being able to easily set up transactions and broadcast them with a single sig is very, it makes the flow of our business much easier as opposed to like a multi-sig, which would be hard, but it's different. And multi-sig setups as well. Play around with all of them. I think, especially if you haven't done cold storage yet, don't jump straight to multi-sig. Start with it. Like if you're not starting with a single sig, you're like getting in, you have it on exchange, you're like, all right, I'm gonna go to cold storage, and like the first thing is multi-sig, like that's the wrong way to go. Like get comfortable setting up private public key pairs with a single sig wallet.
Yeah, I mean, to the new freaks that may have joined through our YouTube clickbait, when we say cold storage, what we mean is an offline Bitcoin wallet. The keys to the Bitcoin wallet never touch the internet. And why is that important? That's important because you've just improved your security by an order of magnitude. Because for someone to try and steal your money, they need physical access to your hardware wallet or to your seeds. And when we're talking about seeds, we're talking about the backup word phrase that pretty much all hardware wallets now at this point support, except for the BitKey. And the beauty of seeds is that you can just write them down. They're just words. They're English words that you can just write down on a piece of paper. Ideally, you stamp those into metal. And why do you stamp them into steel? Because steel is inherently water resistant and fire resistant. It's hard for it to be destroyed. And so as long as you do that and you keep that, you keep those seed words secure, then someone can't take your money without physically getting access to it. You can't get remotely hacked. It just, it improves your security system situation substantially. And then for the big, but the biggest issue with seeds that people have is you write them down wrong. You don't secure them well. You put them in Apple Notes or something like a, you connect it to the internet. So there's aspects there, right? And that's what the BitKey team is trying to mitigate for people that are overwhelmed by seed phrases. So for certain people, that might make more sense. And so the BitKey prioritizes you fucking something up and protecting you from that, with the negative being that, you know, it is more remotely compromisable, particularly in terms of trust with Block and trust with Apple. But once again, like if your threat model is MSTR and you're cool with trusting three corporations and the government, I think BitKey is substantially better as well than that from a security point of view. Now, I am not discounting the fact that MSTR has outperformed Bitcoin over the last few years, you know, but just know what you're buying. Like just know what role that is in your quote unquote portfolio. Right, that is you taking on additional risk, trying to outperform Bitcoin.
I actually got breakfast. Was in Austin earlier this week. I got breakfast with one of our friends, and he was telling me how he actually used Sparrow to recover a BitKey wallet or upload a BitKey wallet, and I forgot that you could do that. He was actually referencing your conversation with Steve Lee and Craig Rall on Citadel Dispatch. And so to understand the trade-offs of BitKey specifically, I highly recommend that episode. It was a great one.
Who was that?
Didn't you have Steve and Craig on an episode?
Oh, yeah. I know. I thought you were talking about... just some random freak told you that?
You know. I don't want to dox him who I got breakfast with.
But. Fair enough. We have Test Dummy zapped us 21,000 sats saying, hey guys, just made the pilgrimage to Nashville. Tried to stop by the park. Happy 4th. Love to hear it. We have Bitcoin in Space 2 zapped 21,000 sats. Greeting freaks, just returned from family China trip. Very cool place. But then my wife did not want me to talk about Tiananmen Square on the June 4th anniversary in case someone's phone might hear. That was probably a good decision. I'm never going to China. Dustin Zap, 32,000 sats. I'm running a Nostr Dev survey. 5 minutes and your feedback will help shape future of DVM-Nostr Dev tools. Link below. As always, freaks, if you send more than 21,000 sats, I am forced to read it. And thank you for supporting the show.
And didn't zap, but I'm reading in the YouTube comments. I listened to my very first RHR 1 year ago. I remember Marty talking about how he had his first old man moment by calling a 12-year-old kid a dickhead outside of Wawa. I forgot about that until now. That did happen. He says, stop being a little dickhead. Pick up that soda. Don't be dickheads. Hey, we had the Zoomer series. I'm pretty confident there's like 15 to 18-year-olds listening to this. Don't be a dickhead out there. I know it's easy. Don't do it, though.
Don't be a dickhead.
The big beautiful bill. Big beautiful bill. Breaking news passed right before we got on. I didn't think it was
I named the episode Big Beautiful Bitcoin. I was pretty proud of myself.
It's a good one.
What's your take on this? It feels like the biggest news item, at least for Americans.
I'm gonna be honest. I think I said this a few weeks ago. Like, I'm done falling into the 24-hour news cycle about the current war, the current bill, the current omnibus spending package. Like, I don't know. It like seems like,
I mean, this one's not Elon's really pissed about it. This is not really a 24-hour news cycle item. This is like 2 months in the making. big omnibus bill that has significant impacts on Americans. But
yeah, it is like healthcare is going down, food stamps going down, spending still going up. Good for American jobs. This is what's being referenced. Elon's freaking out. I wrote a newsletter earlier this week and tweeted at Elon, like, if you're pissed off about spending unfettered expansion of the national debt and these omnibus bills, Bitcoin is like, I don't think you're going to fight it from within the system. Elon's whole tip this week has been, we're going to start a third party. And I think that is the worst idea you can do.
The American party.
Yeah, the third party is just going to hand the country to the Zoran Mandamis of the country, who are going to turn it to a socialist communist hellhole. All a third party is going to do is divide the right and hand everything to the left.
You think so? I mean, you think Elon's completely alienated the left at this point?
Yeah.
He was the left's darling, you know, what, a year ago? Like, do you remember when it was like only Democrats drove Teslas, and then like a year later it was only Republicans?
Yeah,
but I mean, yeah,
I think it definitely divides the right.
I think it's probably bad for his soul to do it. Like, I would never do that. Like, that just sounds horrible. But I will say that the two-party system in America is fucking horrible. And it would be good to see that break up. And historically, it never has. But also, we've never had the richest person in the world who also controls, you know, one of the top social platforms in the world do it. Like, if anyone could flex their weight and do like the evil villain arc, or the good hero arc, depending on your perspective, it could be Elon. So to me, that would be, as like, I don't know, as an accelerationist, it's kind of interesting to me.
Well, that was the newsletter. Like, the accelerationist route is just like defund them by like literally dumping. It's a uniparty. Like, that's the thing. Even if you get a third party, it's still going to be a uniparty. Like, these omnibus bills, like, I don't think the nature of how this stuff gets passed in America today at the legislative level is going to change. And if you haven't listened to Thomas Massey, who's drawing the ire of a bunch of the right this week due to his flip-flopping on the big, beautiful bill, I highly recommend you go listen to him on Theo Vaughn's podcast from last week or a couple of weeks ago. And I think he made a really good point. Like, there's no, like, we don't vote on individual things. It all gets lumped into these omnibus bills.
It's a scam.
It's a freaking scam. And I don't think a third party is not going to change that.
Massey hasn't flip-flopped. Like, he's been incredibly consistent. He's just one of the few Republicans that, what, I think only two Republicans voted no in the Senate.
Four, I think.
What? Four.
I thought it was four.
I mean, just to show how ridiculous it is, I used the 1031X account to search Grok, and I was like, condense it down to bullet points for me so that I could like do a little research before we told people the news. And it's still so fucking convoluted and like, even the fucking AI can't fucking summarize this shit. But yeah, no, I think this is like strictly horrible for America. I think the debt spiral is going to accelerate here. I think Mandibles and Bitcoin Standard is still very much in play. I want to remind people that 3 months ago, people were like, oh, they're going to be fiscally responsible and Doge is going to cut spending, yada, 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 bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Markets are inefficient. And I think people will start to come to that conclusion. And I think Bitcoin is our lifeboat. Strictly speaking, Elon being Trump's lapdog versus Elon threatening to launch a third party is, you know, I kind of like the latter better. But yeah, we'll see. Good thing we have Bitcoin. Just thank God we have Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Thank you for everyone who keeps building out this system so that we can actually rely on it.
I think there's nuances because, like, I like the big, some aspects of the big, beautiful bill in the sense that it really tries to ensure that America, like, it is MAGA in some aspects, in the sense of make America great again, America first, like, make sure that American citizens and the lower middle class are taken care of, and immigrants flooding across the border aren't getting favor in terms of handouts and all that. That's good. And like I wrote this in the newsletter, like the fiscal side of this, the equation is just, it's foregone conclusion. Lynn Alden's been saying it, beating the drum for years. There's no stopping this train. It's mathematically impossible to pull the brake on the train. Like you're gonna have to print more debt. And
like call mandibles first.
Being a pragmatist. It's like, all right, if we're going to do the spending no matter what, like as long as domestically we're trying to make life better for the common man, I'm okay with that. And obviously it's very controversial.
I don't think this bill makes life better for the common man, Marty, but we can see how it plays out.
I think it reduces like centralized healthcare, centralized food stamps, like, and people are screaming bloody murder.
You sound like you fell more for the PSYOP than you first saw.
Maybe I have, but again, just like trying to, I'm not going to die on that hill. Just like trying to be the pragmatist, like take the good, accept the bad, and focus on a true solution, which is like literally Elon, if you care about this, like Tesla, SpaceX, X, if you have bonds in your treasury, dump them for Bitcoin. Like you have to convince people the only way to stop this is to cut off what funds all this bullshit, which is the ability to issue debt and then have the Federal Reserve monetize that. And on that note, Logan, pull up the tweet I just put in and play the video. Like this is the Trump administration setting this up. They're going to combine the Treasury.
What the fuck is this video?
Just what I mean, Mel. I love you, Mel. But learn how to video clip.
He uses his phone to film his Surface tablet or some shit.
It's loud enough. I love you, Mel. Learn how to video clip, but you can. The audio is good, so we can play it.
You know, your name gets floated out there. You have some odds on Polymarket of being the next Fed chair. Can you be a Fed chair and a Treasury Secretary at the same time?
Well, I think it hasn't been done since 1930-something, and I'm very happy in my job here. I think we have lots of good candidates for Fed chair. We will start working on that in the fall. We've been busy. The president's been doing peace deals, trade deals, tax deals, and we are landing the plane on all of those. So we're going to have more bandwidth after Labor Day.
That was not a no. I just want to point out on the double job. Very interesting. Secretary Bessin, thank you for the time today.
Yeah, so for those who missed it, the CNBC reporter essentially asked Bessin, like, would you take the Fed chair? And if you did, would you also still hold the seat at the Treasury? And he just completely pussyfooted around it. And this is what a lot of macro analysts like Luongo, Mel, that I've been having conversations with on TFTC, that's what they've been sort of projecting, is like, it seems like they need tight control of the Treasury market, which means they need tighter control of the Fed funds rate. And they're going to try and merge the Treasury and the Fed, and Bessent sort of gave a very, it wasn't even awkward, but like very overt non-answer. Like he said, yeah, it's a possibility without explicitly saying it.
Well, anyway, the big, beautiful bill is estimated to add $2 to $4 trillion to our debt. So,
what's another $4 trillion, you know?
Have fun staying poor. By the way, Marty, in Mandibles, one of the aspects of Mandibles was they just overload you with information so you don't pay attention to the important shit.
So you're saying this was important shit that I was being overloaded with info?
Well, I think you seem to have been paying attention to it based on your analysis after saying you weren't paying attention to it. but that's it's like a key strategy, right? You like get people disengaged. And then most people that are completely disengaged, particularly if they don't have Bitcoin, will probably be more fucked. And when I say they, I obviously mean the Brits.
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming clear. Right? And this is incredible. I think this is part of the reason why Bitcoin is hovering right below 110 all-time highs and could be an interesting summer for the coin, the big, beautiful Bitcoin.
Big, beautiful Bitcoin.
I think people are really coming to understand this. And the way that the Trump administration, particularly Bessent, like the way they're choreographing everything is like, yes, we're going to turn everything on turbo, but we're going to do these trade deals. We're going to reorient the economy. We're going to lean into AI and energy and Bitcoin mining in the hopes that we're going to become so productive that you're not even going to care about the inflation because you're going to be, we're going to be making so much money as a country. That's not going to matter. Yeah. But that's what they're, that's their justification for all this.
Yeah. Bullshit. Imagine if a person told you that. They were just like massively in credit card debt. And they were just like, oh, don't worry. The next job's going to pay for it. I'm going to be so productive.
Well, that's the thing with like, they only have to signal that to like the hardcore, pretty well off Republican base that's really worried about fiscal spending. Like, that's really all they care about convincing that this is going to happen because they all own assets. They're all going to benefit from rates going down, assets screaming. And they're like, don't worry, your assets will go up faster and stronger than inflation does. So don't worry about it. It's happening. And guess what?
I'm just glad they're not selling off the fucking land.
Yeah.
That's a big win.
Hey, we need low-income housing in Yosemite Park. What are you talking about?
It's like clearly a fucking gaslighting bullshit. Everyone just immediately saw through that.
Well, it's like
low-income housing in the mountains.
Here's my caveman sort of take on all this. When I remember in a flight, like I was in Austin earlier this week. I flew back to Philly last night. And like towards the end of the flight opened up. We're probably over Delaware or Jersey. And I just looked down. I'm like, there's so much goddamn land here. There's like plenty of room.
Yeah, land is not our issue. There's so much fucking room. Even in Nashville, like that is not the issue. I mean, the number one thing in cities is zoning. There's so much zoning issues. Like, just let people build.
Well, that's
pull the regulatory tape off and let people build. Socialists like Mom Donnie who want to freeze rents. Like, let the free market do its thing. Just let people build. You'll have cheaper housing. If you try and freeze rents, you'll have the opposite.
That was part of the conversation while I was back in Austin last week. Austin real estate's been cratering, and many people are like, oh, it's because like everybody came during COVID's left. I mean, I left to come back to Philly, but I don't think that's like the reason why how they built so much inventory in the 4 years I lived in Austin. Like if you look at downtown Austin, there's something like 12 cranes in the air building residential high rise housing. And that's the main driver of Austin real estate prices falling, which isn't good if you're a real estate developer, PE firm, like investing into that theme. But if you're an individual looking to get affordable housing in one of the bigger cities and most economically dense cities in the country, like it's great for you. And I think we're at this period where supply has just flooded Austin. It's brought prices down, which is great for everybody looking to get a job there and sort of live sustainably. Not great for the people who took the risk to to invest in those properties, but that's just the way the market works. Guess what?
I see the Bitcoin block in the YouTube chat. America about to boom. We will be in surplus for the first time since the 90s due to growth and increased tax revenues from growth. And this is like one of the low key reasons why I love Nostr. Like, I just wish that was a signed, cryptographically signed message that I could just retweet in like 4 years. It's undeletable. Just let me just retweet that in 4 years. Signed and verifiable. So many bad takes.
Well, I'll play devil's advocate, steel man. I do think the tariff revenue has surprised people to the upside. And
it's negligible, Marty. It is fucking negligible.
It's been like, I think throughout the first 6 months of this year, it's around $150 billion, and they haven't even ramped it up.
Negligible. That's the same amount of money we gave to fucking ICE in the Big Beautiful Bill.
We'll see.
Look, regardless of how you feel about deporting people, I think the free market could do it for a lot cheaper than $150 billion. Like, do people not even – you can't comprehend how much money that is.
I mean, I'm not saying –
how much? What's the exact amount? How much was the ICE funding? Maple really needs to add real-time web search. They told me it's inbound. It's coming soon.
Well, they just launched document uploads officially.
Okay, so I'm glad I checked. I misquoted. It's an extra. They didn't add this up to me. An extra $75 billion, but still, like, I feel like you could do it for a lot cheaper than that.
Yeah. Look, and the YouTube comments are begging you to ban the bots. They're like YouTube. I have to go in every single day. I'm a owner of a media business, and we run very lean, and I'm the guy in charge of deleting the scam YouTube comments. Have you not written a script that says if anybody writes the word XAI28A, you immediately delete the comment? Like, it's this horde of I doubled my XAI28A bag that make my life living hell on a day-to-day basis.
I see Rob OK asking me in the Nostr live chat why I'm watching the YouTube chat. Well, the YouTube and the X chat is streamed directly into our streaming software, and then I separately have the Nostr chat on the side. And my rule is I positively engage with the Nostr live chat, and the only time I engage with the YouTube or X chat is if I'm trying to pick a fight or make fun of them. That's my – if you couldn't read between the lines.
Now you know. Now you know, Rob.
But I'm also obsessed with live chat, and I love interacting with you, Ride or Dies. So no matter what, I like to see it all. So there's that as well. And thank everyone who joins us live. Like, you guys make this show special. Unedited. Just our thoughts with you guys. Just kicking the shit while
it's
the
fun.
World marches on.
It's fun. We've got some people asking what I'm drinking. Cape May Brewing Company, local brewery, Tan Limes, great summer beer. Low ABV, tasty. It's a great beer.
I love it. Local's good. Got to support local.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? The government's going to print a bunch of money. They're going to send it on turbo, and asset prices are going to go up. You got to make sure you have exposure to financial assets, and guess what? Robinhood has made it easier than ever to get exposure to stonks via the blockchain.
Wow. Game changer.
Oh, they're already in trouble. So did you see the backlash from OpenAI about this?
No, so I think OpenAI is just legally protecting themselves, right?
I don't know.
So
let's announce what's happening in your words, what's happening, and then we'll get into.
So Robinhood is using an Ethereum layer 2, I believe,
Arboretum,
to put tokens on the blockchain representing both public stocks and private stocks. So the two big private ones they have are probably the most desirable private equity placements in the world right now, which is XAI, which is also now the parent company of X, and OpenAI. And I guess they also have SpaceX in there too, which is a distinct and separate company that's also private.
And I guess they're offering these pretty much, I believe right now, only to Europeans. But this goes, so first of all, they're saying decentralized, blah, 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 blockchain, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is decentralized in name only. They're doing exactly, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, Marty, I completely preempted the Spark SDK Wallet of Satoshi controversy on RHR last week. Before that. It happened, I knew it was going to happen. But it's similar to that, right? So Robinhood's goal here is they can only serve so many customers, primarily in the US, and they want to expand the customer base that they can serve. They want more users. They want to be able to serve more users under the current regulatory environment. And so how can they do that? They can do that by pretending they're offering a decentralized blockchain solution that's not actually decentralized. But all that really matters is if they can argue in court that it is.
What? They hand wave about it.
Yeah, they hand wave about it. It's the same move Justin Sun does with Tron. Like, you can't self-custody Tron. Like, Tron is completely centralized. Like, Justin Sun can press a button and the whole network just fucking rewrites itself. But it's enough for the courts to consider it a blockchain and consider it decentralized. So that's what they're doing. From a technical point of view, it's probably fine for users. It's basically the same trust model as the regular Robinhood platform, which means that if something pumps and Citadel doesn't like it, then they're going to turn off the buy button. But besides that, they offer a relatively reliable product to access, public stocks. But, you know, obviously users that speculate on these things that think they can trade markets will probably get wrecked. Like, most people are not good day traders. 99% of people that are trying to trade short term will get absolutely wrecked. But in terms of, from like a technical point of view, I see exactly what they're doing. They're just trying to support more users. And really weird press conference. Catalina wine mixer vibes is ridiculous.
These product launch things are getting out of control. Like, it literally looked like the Catalina wine mixer. What's the guy's name? Drew? What's his name? No, that's the Telegram guy.
Is that a real thing, or is that Justin's stepbrothers?
I think stepbrothers may have been referencing something that's real, but I think
that's where you know it from, right?
Yeah. It literally might have been where they filmed this.
No, it's a real 2-day wine tasting and music festival held annually on Catalina Island. Yeah. Oh no, inspired by the event in the movie. So it first came stepbrothers and now it's a real event.
Yeah, because in the movie it was like a helicopter sales event. Like, they were wooing. But bringing this back to like OpenAI and XAI and selling secondary shares of these private companies. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think OpenAI was trying to just cover their bases by coming out and saying, hey, we didn't approve this. Like, we're not okay with this. Or
yeah, they didn't want shareholder lawsuits. So what I think Robinhood is doing in the background to reduce friction is, like, they've gotten private placements and equity exposure to a bunch of this stuff. And then they've probably also done some derivative stuff to hedge, to offer exposure. And so, I mean, because if you think about the type of rollout for this type of thing in terms of how many different tickers they support, how many different companies they support, getting approval from each individual one is probably would just have been insane. So my guess is they just rolled it in-house. They probably bought some shares on secondary or have some kind of derivative agreement to provide exposure. And OpenAI wants to protect themselves from shareholder lawsuits, particularly since OpenAI right now is going through this for-profit conversion thing where they're switching from a non-profit to a for-profit. That's not a foregone conclusion. Like, we don't know if that's actually – no one's ever done that before. It'd be like if I was like, OpenSats is no longer a 501c3 and we're going to switch to a for-profit thing and take a huge investment from Microsoft for 49% of our business. Like, that has never been done before. So OpenAI is probably – that was probably like a lawyer tweet, in my opinion. And I wouldn't be surprised if they knew about it ahead of time. At least I got a nod ahead of time.
Well, like, that's like been a big meme in incumbent venture capital, in crypto with real world assets, is like, it would be great to have the ability to trade secondary shares of these private companies on an open market. I mean, that's what Barry Silbert, that's what his second market was before he started Grayscale, but it was like Pink Slips is very illiquid, and people have been trying to iterate on that. And like, another thing I could see this, the OpenAI's response, another reason for them doing it could be like, maybe they don't want to have like a free float, some of their secondary shares free floating and creating like a marketable valuation, because they want to like keep jacking it up. So it's definitely, if this was possible, it's beneficial for investors, but founders, if you're worried about sort of how people perceive the valuation of your business, you'd be like, I don't want that free floating, because I want to.
I'm not, maybe in some cases, but in this case,
yeah, it's very
like high. First of all, in the current hype cycle where they're like, rumors are that like individual employees are getting paid like $100 million packages to switch teams in terms of which company to work at, and like the hype cycle is in full swing, and the fact that the float on this Robinhood product is fucking tiny, if anything, it's going to do a more intense value, like a more aggressive higher valuation for them.
Yeah, dumber retail.
So my guess is more the shareholder side, like shareholder lawsuits, just like the future class action lawsuits that will inevitably happen because of this stuff. You can just see a million different ways that investors can get burned on this tokenization scheme. Purely from a market point of view. Once again, I don't think on the technical side, look, the trust model is you're trusting Robinhood, which is the trust model that when you use Robinhood, you're already doing. So from the technical side, whatever. But from the market side, particularly for illiquid private equity that's, you know, not public stocks that have like derivative exposure and stuff to provide them, like there's a lot of ways that market is not going to, it's going to be very liquid. It's going to be, people are going to get absolutely wrecked at some point. And I'm sure the legal team at Robinhood has done like the most dystopian terms of service to use it, but that doesn't necessarily always hold up. So we'll see how that plays out. I just want to just real quick, like the problem with all this shit, guys, and like the tech bros, I know I mentioned the Tech Bros podcast last week, TBPC. That's what it stands for, right, Marty?
TBPN.
TBPN, Tech Bro Podcast Network. That's what it stands for?
I think so. I could just look it up.
I think it's Tech Brothers, but yeah, Tech. And like they're completely, I mean, off base with all crypto, stablecoin, Bitcoin related stuff. Which made me think about it. But like the problem with the real world asset stuff is it doesn't matter if you put it on a blockchain. You could even put it on Bitcoin. At the end of the day, it requires trust in a centralized party, because someone has to hold the real world asset. There's no cryptographic way to tie a real world asset with a cryptographic network, with a digitally native network. And so no matter what the tech, it doesn't matter what their flow chart is, like their stupid ass fucking chalkboard where they're like pointing to different stuff. All of that is bullshit. None of that fucking matters. That's just the way they get around the regulations. It doesn't actually change the trust profile whatsoever of the actual asset.
Yeah. Maybe the only benefit is you can trade 24/7, 365, but there's nothing to stop the exchanges from one day going 24/7, 365, and then that benefit gets swept out the room.
You should be able to go on Schwab tomorrow and trade stocks. Like the stock market should not be closed on July 4th. It could be in limited mode or something. Maybe there's less liquidity. Maybe you can't call customer service. But like there's no reason for it to be closed.
Yeah.
And you don't need a blockchain. You don't need a blockchain to enable that.
No, and you bring up a very good point. Like the only we've talked about this so many times, but it does bear repeating, particularly for anybody who's new to this. And while I was looking up TBPN, they're cooking us right now. They got 76,000 live viewers. we've got about 2.2.
All these rabbit hole recap knockoffs are so much more successful than us.
In our defense, they go for like 8 hours at a time, so they build it up over time. But
yeah,
point being,
like, 4 hours a day, daily shows.
The only asset you can tie to a blockchain is the native asset, the native token that runs in that. And the only way you can do that is via proof of work. And the only blockchain, quote unquote, blockchain, time chain, whatever you want to call it, that does that, that's worth anything, is Bitcoin. Like the melding of the physical world via energy consumption, translating electricity to hashes that enable you to get a native digital token in the form of Bitcoin is the only way you could tether any asset to a blockchain. It's this melding of the physical and digital world via electricity consumption.
Kevin in the YouTube chat thinks my hat is a little pretentious for somebody who believes in capitalism. If you want to buy your own, you can go to SealDispatch.com/shop.
Yeah, support the cause, support the profits. All right, that's enough on Robinhood. Actually, one more thing. Another thing, it'll be interesting to see how much traction this gets. And it was very much underappreciated because of the real world asset thing. They actually added perp swaps too. So you can just access
BitMEX style.
Yeah, you can access BitMEX style perps on.
Is that in the app or is that on the blockchain?
I think it's in the app, just vanilla perps.
Wow.
Yeah.
Late stage fiat shit right there.
Yeah.
Back to stay humble and stack sats, guys. Just stay humble and stack sats. That's the alpha. Long term, relentless accumulation of the hardest asset, our best money that the world has ever seen.
Hey, that's not the only thing. We have freedom preserving protocols that need build out too. And the team over at OpenSats, I'm sure you've heard of it, just gave their 12th wave of Nostr grants. I feel like the waves are coming more. The intervals between sets are getting shorter and shorter. The waves are going out.
We're starting to get more efficient and we're getting our processes in order. This one had some new grant recipients and renewals. I'll just highlight one of the new grant recipients. I'm really excited about Froster, which is using Frost to basically create a multi-sig environment for Nostr. And so that can be very useful, for power users or for organizations, right? In an organization, you don't want the intern to have full and total access forever to your private key. You want to be able to delegate access and have user access controls and who gets which privileges and whatnot and be able to rotate them over time. And so that's what Froster aims to provide.
Shout out to Austin and crew working on that. Any other ones?
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that. Domus is a renewal. I don't know. People should read the blog post. Aegis is cool. Aegis is an iOS signing app so that you can use a bunch of different micro apps on mobile iOS without trusting them with your private key, which I think is another important building block. Android already had that with Amber. So Aegis is trying to do that on the iOS side. On the mobile side, but we keep shipping, keep adding different building blocks. These open protocols take a while to build out. And I think the key is just to keep the momentum. You just got to keep pushing. And then the other OpenSats news, or the bigger OpenSats news, is when we first started OpenSats, the dream was to be the most individually funded org possible. You know, we don't like relying on high net worth, wealthy people to provide a significant amount of donations, corporations that might come with different conflicts of interest, even though we don't allow them to attach strings to their donations. And we've never taken any orders from anyone who's provided donations. The ultimate goal is to have, you know, 100,000 motivated individuals supporting the cause, so that we can be sustainable and truly independent and like resilient to any kind of corporate pressure. So we're very grateful for the number of individual donations we've got. I don't remember the exact amount, but it's quite high in terms of amount, like number of transactions, but not necessarily in percentage of dollars or Bitcoin donated. So what we've recently added was reoccurring credit card donations. So if you want, you can just go to opensats.org/donate, and you can put your credit card information in. You can do $20, $50 a month, whatever. And then it automatically, recurringly will donate that to OpenSats and go to open source contributors without us taking any cut whatsoever. We automatically convert that to Bitcoin. So just to put a little math out there, if 5,000 people pledged $50 a month, that would be $3 million a year in just reoccurring support that we just knew we had. And like a lot of our grants are long term, so like managing that liability mismatch is much easier if we have reoccurring support. So that's available now. It's not tax free. It's tax deductible, and we convert everything to Bitcoin. So if you do donate in dollars, we'll just automatically stack that into Bitcoin. It's like DCAing into devs. But it was surprisingly difficult for us to get set up, and I'm glad we finally have it out there.
It's been a very long journey, so I'm pumped for you guys for finally getting to this point.
It was literally on the like original launch roadmap, and it's just taken us 3 years to do it, or 4 years to do it, but...
Jeff G, I'm not going to rate it. They are not impartial. Hey, we'll tell it like it is. Okay. A couple of tan lines deep right now. We will tell it like it is. On that note, we have.
No, Maple, I mean, AI. I will. You can't just comment on it and then not actually give an opinion.
I thought they were making a comment about OpenSats, and then it was like about the BitKey. It's like, oh, disregard the BitKey opinion.
I mean, I think it's a combination. He's one of our ride or die haters. He's almost in every live show. I mean, look, Dorsey is a friend, which is, I think is like probably the single biggest conflict. I mean, it's hard talking about friends' projects on air live to people. And we're friends with a lot of people in the Bitcoin space, which is by far the single biggest conflict. Also, previously, BitKey was a sponsor of the show. I don't think they're a sponsor right now. Marty handles. They're not a sponsor right now, right, Marty?
Well, working on it. We'll see.
Marty handles the sponsorships. Look, I think the BitKey can be a useful product. First of all, I've gotten a lot of shit over the years for being critical of sponsors. So my actions speak louder than words. And Jack has funded OpenSats, but I haven't gotten paid a cent from that. So there's the full disclosure. BitKey has a certain threat model and certain use case and certain trade-offs. And what are those trade-offs? Those trade-offs are it requires some trust in block, and it requires, and there's less sovereignty elements to it. You don't have backup seeds. We've talked about this many times. You don't have the interoperable seed words.
You don't have
privacy. And you don't have, it's pretty poor for privacy. And it's not even like true cold storage. Like you can't really think of it as true cold storage. That all said, and also there is kind of an element where it's like self-custody for regulatory purposes, but is it like, I don't know. There's a whole argument there, but anyway, but as a stepping stone, as something to get started with self-custody, I think it's absolutely massive. Like I think you have to, like, you could be a complete idiot and you will not fuck up a BitKey. You will not. Like if you can walk downstairs without falling, you can use a BitKey. And that's not true for most other self-custody models. And you can have relatively strong security guarantees in that process. So in a world where 99% of new users that are interested in Bitcoin are signing into Twitter and getting onboarded to MSTR and a handful of Bitcoin penny stocks, BitKey is a significantly better trust model than those. But ultimately, I think you should put in the time and try and figure out actual sovereign self-custody cold storage. I think BitKey is a stepping stone. It's got inheritance built in, which is nice as well. It's extremely easy to use, extremely hard to fuck up. And then you should figure out actual sovereign self-custody. Secure your seed words. Use the tools. Get comfortable with them. Become unruggable. And these tools are all, you know, it's good to have multiple different tools with multiple different trade-off models.
Yeah. Strictly better than Bitcoin on an exchange. Has trade-offs. Not as good as creating your own private public key pair offline, setting it up yourself, connected to your node. But I think very safe to say strictly superior to just buying a proxy exposure via a public equity.
Or like an ETF, right? It's like,
yeah,
you're going to buy the BlackRock ETF, you're going to use a BitKey. I'd rather keep funds on a BitKey in that situation. Strictly speaking.
All right. Up next, we mentioned it in passing earlier, but bears repeating, Maple AI, which is a ChatGPT competitor that does not snoop on you, cannot snoop on you. They leverage secure enclaves in your phone and in the cloud so that you can use AI without the company launching the model, sort of snooping on what you're searching and what's being sent back to you in terms of the prompt or the output. They just announced they unlocked one of the most powerful features, confidential document and image upload. So you can now upload PDFs, pictures, and ask the models that they have available currently, Llama and DeepSeek, and I believe one other, about the documents that you upload. This is massive. Probably the most requested feature, having been talking extensively with Mark and Tony, or Anthony, excuse me, over the last few months about this. And so this is big for them. Shout out to the Maple.
Yeah, it's not in beta anymore. It's live. I think I put is that the wrong link? Is that the one?
No, that's,
oh,
that's
maybe. Right. Anyway, it's live now. It's in production and everyone has access to it if you are a pro subscriber. I tested this feature out yesterday. It's fucking awesome. It works really well. Upload a document, be like, analyze this, ask it questions, and you have privacy at the same time. So like the way you can think about Maple is it's an alternative ChatGPT that doesn't harvest all your data, privacy focused, kind of a similar trust model as Signal. So what Signal is for messaging, Maple is for AI chat. And the single biggest thing that is missing right now is real-time web search. So like if you ask it something, like its knowledge base kind of stops in like 2023 or 2024. For instance, you can't ask it about the Big Beautiful Bill. They told me it's coming. But if you want to see it come sooner, the best way to do that is to subscribe. So that they can get more funding and hopefully ship more product quicker, but they have been shipping pretty quick. So anyway, huge shout out to Marks and Tony, two-man team. It's amazing how quick they're shipping considering it's only a two-man team. If they were in charge of deporting people, they probably could do it for like $2 million instead of $75 billion.
No, if you want to hear more about the product announcement, Marks has kindly put the link to the Primal Note or the Gnostic Note in the
My favorite part of Rabbit Hole Recap is callbacks. I like that was like a questionable callback, but it is my favorite part.
Moving on, you mentioned it. Anything you want to add to the Satoshi Wallet Satoshi Spark SDK self custody?
Yeah, I tested it.
How is it?
Awesome. Awesome. As I said last week, I ninja'd ahead of the controversy and informed all you freaks that it's the self-custody argument is going to be argued back and forth about whether it's not whether it's self-custody or not. I think from a technical point of view, it's pretty strong argument that it's not self-custody. But I understand what the goal is, right? And the goal is provide a decent trust model for users that has a user-friendly experience that is similar to custodial, and not have the regulatory overhead, be able to at least argue in court that it is self-custody. And that's the experience you get. Like, it feels like Wallet of Satoshi custodial, you know, super, super easy to use, very frictionless, send and receive from any Lightning wallet, full Lightning address support. And it just works really, really well. And I think it shows the current state of the Bitcoin community that once again, they're being lambasted and argued about over this, while 99% of people are getting onboarded to MSTR. Like, I would, if I was going to keep $200,000 in MSTR or Wallet of Satoshi's new quote unquote self custody product, I would probably be safer in the Spark wallet. So different trade-offs, different use cases, different threat models for people. You do get seed word backups, which is cool. And I think it'll go live sometime soon. Also, the funny thing is, like, Wallet of Satoshi was always custodial. Yeah. And this is a better trust model than OG Wallet of Satoshi. Yeah, it's like it's strictly a better movement in the right direction, but whatever. And once again, the reason Wallet of Satoshi guys will never participate in this debate is for regulatory reasons. Like, they're not going to, so stop expecting them to.
No, the argument is Spark uses state chains. I believe there's two, like, sort of hiccups. One, Alice sends funds to Bob, passing along a private key in state chains. And if Alice and Spark, in this case, or the person running the server, tracking all the private keys and their movement, could collude to steal the funds or essentially double spend the Bitcoin that was supposed to be given to Bob, and then sort of need permission from the server to pass along the private key.
So or
concept of
or Alice could be LightSpark.
Yes. Right?
Like, if the operator is malicious, Alice sends money to Bob, Alice can collude with LightSpark to defraud Bob, or Alice could be LightSpark, and then there's no collusion needed. And there is a way to, but in a non-malicious situation, if LightSpark is not actively malicious, they can't take funds. And then, like, they can't, like, if they get, like, a court order or something after the fact, they can't take funds. And if they shut down, you can still recover as long as you have enough to pay the on-chain fees, right? So that's the other nuance, right? It's like, if you're receiving 100 sats, you can never take that on chain. It will just get burned in fees. But at the same time, it's like, you lose 100 sats. It's like, oh, congratulations. Like, you accidentally dropped a quarter while you were walking outside. Like, no one really fucking gives a shit.
Yeah. Beware. It's out there. Shout out to Wallet of Satoshi. Moving in the right direction. Left the U.S. Heard the feedback from the market. We need something non-custodial. We need some self-custody. Like, quotation marks around that for this implementation, but they're moving ahead. Next up on the list, opportunity guys, putting opportunity costs on the list. We added sailor mode to the extension, and this was.
Are you happy to put your app on the list? Why don't act so surprised? Why wouldn't I put your app on the list?
No, this is just fun. We're trying to have fun, okay. I've got a lot of people like, oh my God, you're trying to tell people not to spend Bitcoin. Like, it's like, no, we're just having fun on the internet, freaks. Okay. You want to price your life in Bitcoin. You want to have a light forcing function to have you think twice about conspicuous.
It's not really a light forcing function pricing all current prices in $21 million Bitcoin, Marty.
This is fun, though. It's fun.
I see the fun part, which is why I put it there.
Yeah.
But it's not light at all. It's like, what is like, you see like a $50 purchase is like $19,000.
Hey, think twice. We're not trying to tell people don't buy things. We're not trying to say don't spend your Bitcoin. Don't use it as a medium exchange. It's just a fun tool, informational tool to give you a better understanding of what you're spending in Bitcoin terms on a day-to-day basis and what you may be able to have in the future, according to Saylor. So this was this was an idea from Moses, the young dev working on this. He came up with this idea. He coded it, showed it to me. I was like, this is pretty fun. Let's do it. So
people seem to love it.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck this trend of like making 2-decade-long predictions, because you know no one's ever going to hold you to it. It's like, just pull a number out of your ass, say, oh, in 21 years, it's going to be $21 million. Boom. And like, there'll be no accountability whatsoever.
It's a great move, because it's hard to keep you accountable because you got to wait 21 years.
Yeah, he knows exactly what he did.
Yeah. It's fun. So we launched
Marty, what do you think the price is going to be in 21 years?
I think it's actually going to be higher. 2046.
Yeah, he's so bearish.
Yeah.
It's going to be at least $22 million.
At least. At the very least.
It's like Price is Right, right? You got to do Price is Right. You got to do
today's purchasing power too. Okay. I'm not talking about like post hyperinflation, $21 million.
But you notice what he does? What he does is he does like a far out prediction. He's like, okay, in 10 years, it's going to be $13 million or something. And then he updates the prediction with a longer period. Like his next prediction is going to be like, we're going to be $42 million in 42 years. And just like every update just pushes us out further.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywhere. Fun app.
So people when you turn on Saylor mode, does it disable the sats mode? Does it still show the sats?
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
It's just one or the other?
Yeah. It's a fun thing. And I will say, I said this last week, it has, putting it in sats mode, not Saylor mode. Saylor mode is fun, but then you put it on there, like, this is crazy. This is crazy. I got to turn this off. The number's too high. But the sats mode, it really has, like, helped me think about my spending and my expenses and all that. It's beneficial in that way. On to more dystopian stuff.
Definitely think in sats. I agree that you should think in sats.
As somebody who recently moved back to the Philadelphia area, my home city. If you live in Philadelphia or the area, you know that Xfinity is the biggest company in the city. They own the two tallest buildings in the city of Philadelphia. And they recently announced something that we've covered this before years ago on the show. There was some like research paper that
it was treated as like a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. And now Xfinity is just out here like, hey, we're going to use our Wi-Fi signals as an in-home security device for you to track everything going on.
I mean, it's like, first of all, new exclamation point, use Wi-Fi signals to detect motion in your home at no extra cost. Like, that's what makes it the most dystopian of the whole thing, right? It's just the corporate marketing around, you're welcome. We're tracking everything you do in your house with your Wi-Fi signals.
And we're nice enough now to let you know that we're actually doing it. And we're gonna let you track it while you're gone. You don't have to get a Ring camera. The Wi-Fi signal's got it for you. But do you remember the research paper we referenced years ago when we were talking about the subject?
Yeah.
It was like, it's crazy how granular they get, because like they were able to detect the test was like they crumpled like a bag of chips and like they could like recreate the image of the bag crumbling.
I think because the metal stuff is easier.
Yeah.
Presumably. But I law enforcement has been using this type of tech before they like charge into houses and buildings and stuff for a bit now.
It's like, it's predictive programming in Hollywood. This is like Mr. Fox's Dark Knight tech at the end.
But I mean, this is just an accurate, is this predictive programming or is this just
accurate. I mean, that movie launched in like 2008 before like anybody was even talking about it.
Freeze, the number one thing you can do in terms of digital security in your home is throw out the ISP router. They don't tell you this, but you can get rid of the router that comes with your internet, and you can replace it with your own router. And so at least your evil ISP doesn't have like full control and ownership of your internal network.
Yeah. Yeah. As somebody who literally just installed an Xfinity Wi-Fi into their house. This was,
Look, the fucked up part is there's no competition. That's one of the coolest parts about Starlink is it finally is bringing competition to monopolies in terms of ISP, but usually you have no choice in which your ISP is. Just replace the router. At the very least, replace the router.
And Start9 is working on one, which is good to know.
2 weeks. No, it's going to be longer than 2 weeks. I really like, if you want some, until Start9 releases their open source router, I see someone asking a recommendation. pfSense is pretty great. Open source.
Be aware. All right. I might have to jump in the ocean. So we've got a few more things on the list. So we'll do boost from last week. And then we'll finish out the list. Do we have an HRF story of the week that I should pull up, or they get the financial freedom report out this week?
I'll check now.
Well, Matt checks. We will read the top boost from Rabbit Hole Recap 363. Bitcoin is a moral revolution. We've got one boost to read, and it's from Ride or Die. Week in, week out, freak, Pringle Mac, 22,222 sats. She's in the live chat right now. Twos across the board. Palindrome boost. Stay ungovernable, legends. Love you, boys. Sil and Tony. Love you.
Love it.
That's it. Everybody's
thank boosting. You for your support.
Everybody's zapping live in Zap.stream. We've got, whoa. We got like 250,000 sats in Zap.stream. I'll take that. Take a 250,000 sats.
No, we appreciate you, freaks. Thank you for joining the live chat every week. Thank you for supporting the show.
And Matt really did find it really does mean a lot. Matt did find a Human Rights Foundation Financial Freedom Report story of the week coming from India, where it expands offline CBDC access for citizens. The Reserve Bank of India, or RBI, is expanding the number of banks offering offline access to its digital rupee CBDC from 17 to 30 in order to create greater access for Indians who do not have an internet connection. The RBI is aiming to enhance the adoption rate of CBDC, especially since it's backed by the physical rupee and is capable of being tracked, a senior RBI official said. In addition to online features, the digital rupee is slowly being integrated into the state-run UPI digital payment system, which processes billions of transactions each month and underpins daily commerce for hundreds of millions of Indians. This appears to be working too. The value of the digital rupee in circulation jumped from approximately $22.8 million worth, or 234K roar, at the end of March 2024 to around $122.4 million, or 1,016 ruby. CRORE, I don't know what that means, by March this year. And in its latest report, the RBI confirmed it's working with ministries to explore defined end use for payments. The level of programmability and traceability being embedded into the digital rupee poses risks to Indian civil liberties, as it gives the state unprecedented power to monitor, restrict, and free spending. So CBDCs are here. Not in the United States. Well, you know, the banking system's already CBDC. But in India, they're really stepping it up.
India, largest country in the world.
It's bigger than China now?
Yeah.
India. It hasn't had a great 5-year history with their monetary system.
Probably longer than that. All right, back to the list. It would be remiss of us not to remind everybody that Samurai Devs were arrested 435 days ago, and it is imperative that if you care about the ability for developers to create open source, non-custodial wallet software, that you support their defense by going to p2prights.org/donate to help them out. Still ongoing. Samurai's the main focus of P2P Rights. There are other things. If you contribute to P2P Rights, that you'll be supporting as well.
Well, you can choose to do Samurai only or to the General Legal Defense Fund.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to...
But if there is leftover, and I believe if there's leftover on the Samurai side, it'll go into the General Legal Defense Fund. So you should just put it towards Samurai, earmark it towards Samurai for now. Let me put it this way. They're very far away from being to a point where there'll be a surplus.
Yeah.
So all funds are just going to Samurai until we get them free. And then we mentioned last week the Bitcoin Policy Summit Primal Studio launching. Both of those videos are out now. So I put links to those in the show notes. On the Bitcoin Policy Summit side, it's an entire summit. So it's a playlist of every single talk that was given. And then the Primal Studio launch is just a keynote by Million, the founder and CEO of Primal, launching Primal Studio. So give those a watch. I recommend it.
I see Soap Miner sent us another zap. Would be remiss of me not to mention that I finally got my soap. Talking about it for months now. Got my soap. Been lathering myself in the shower with Soap Miner soap, the beef tallow base soap. Got the pine tar. First bar I'm using is the pine tar. Big fan. Soap Miner. I was asking Matt earlier. Couldn't give me an answer. Is it okay if I wash my hair with
I said soap? Yes.
I've been doing that. Like, I feel like
it's I said yes. Dope. Of course you can, Marty. You don't have to ask permission. Why wouldn't you be able to?
Okay. It's good to know.
The Brits want you to think you need special shampoo, but you don't.
Yeah. I've been using the beef tallow base soap to wash my hair. So shout out to Soap Butter.
McCoy zapped us 21,000 sats, said yo. And Paulie zapped another 21,000 sats and said, next round on me, drink Freedom Lovers. I think he wanted to be the top zapper of the day.
Shout out to you. Shout out to you, Paulie. That's what we got. Anything else? Any parting words for 4th of July? Let freedom rings, freaks.
Please be safe with fireworks. Enjoy your families. Life is short. It's important for us to stamble and stack sats and try and accumulate the best money that's ever existed relentlessly, long-term and set up our families for that future. But also life is incredibly short and you could get hit by a car tomorrow. So don't weigh every financial decision on $21 million Bitcoin. I think that's retarded.
Yeah.
Spend some money on your family. Have a good July 4th. You don't have to be a never spender. Don't be a frugal cunt. Just be reasonable with your expenses and try and increase your income as much as possible and stack sats with it.
Touch grass, live a little, jump in the ocean. I'm going to go jump in the ocean. Not only could you get hit by a car tomorrow, as idiots saying in the YouTube chats, you could choke on a hot dog, you could have an errant firework hit you. So go enjoy your life.
Chew your hot dogs.
Chew your hot dogs. Don't go Joey Chestnut on them. He's a professional. And make sure that you enjoy your night tonight, enjoy your day, get off of social media, hang out with your family, your community, and enjoy freedom. Think about freedom tomorrow.
I love it. Love your family, hug your family, build strong families, stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love.